Greetings, friends, and welcome back to another hour of memorable entertainment as we take a trip back in time to the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to gather around the old part of radio. Halloween is fast approaching, and so I thought it was time to play my first Halloween episode of the year. I decided to feature an episode of CBS Radio Mystery Theater, a newer series in the 70s and 80s that tried to revive radio as a dramatic medium. The series ran from January 6, 1974 until December 31, 1982, all on CBS. E.G. Marshall was the show's famous host and narrator. The series is created by Hiram Brown, who, quote, strived to bring back radio's glamour days. While the series was popular among listeners, CBS didn't force its affiliates to air Mystery Theater during its scheduled times, so affiliate stations often preempted the program in favor of a live sports program or something else they felt would make the station more money. Thankfully, all or most of the series episodes are available online, so people today can freely enjoy them. Today's episode is based on an Edgar Allan Poe story and is titled Black Cat. It was first heard on Monday, April 1st, 1974. Enjoy.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about it, but of all the creatures in the animal kingdom, only man, and man alone, will murder his mate simply because she no longer pleases him. True, certain of our friends in fur, fin, or feather will indulge in desertion or even divorce, but murder? For that, you must have the highest degree of culture and civilization. For that, you have to be human.
I must know what I can do, Doctor, to keep myself from killing my wife.
Why do you want to kill her?
I don't want to kill her.
Well, then, what makes you think you're going to?
I've been told I'm going to do it.
By whom?
I've been told unmistakably and in no uncertain terms, and that's what scares me.
But who told you?
Pluto.
Who's Pluto?
A cat.
A cat told you?
Yes. My wife's cat.
Our mystery drama, The Black Cat, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Can you really tell the future by reading my palm, Madame Xanadu?
Have faith, and let me have your left hand. Ah, yes, I see very clearly.
What do you see, Madame Xanadu? Tell me what you see.
You will meet a tall, good-looking man.
I will?
Yes. A tall, good-looking man who will make you very happy.
Oh!
He is from the Internal Revenue Service.
The Internal Revenue Service?
Yes. And he has many, many free publications for you, ranging from business expenses and child care to sick pay and retirement income. One of those publications may solve your tax problem and make you very happy.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Here, what do you see in my other palm?
It says here you can get any of those free publications at your IRS district office.
You know, when tax time rolls around, I need help. That's why I was really glad to hear about CIT's Income Tax Service. It's beautiful. For just a $5 minimum charge, they take care of all the headaches connected with taxes. CIT's tax service is fast, computerized, and accurate, and they'll figure out your biggest tax savings under the law. Not only that, if you need cash, you can check out a CIT Uniloan at the same time. CIT's Income Tax Service. Why not go see them today?
Because whenever you need money, come in or telephone. Ask the man at CIT for a Uniloan.
CIT makes money happen. Takes care of your taxes, too.
Consider the act of murder. Popular opinion has it the majority of killers are ruthless, cold-blooded, devoid of pity. But the facts tell a different tale. Statistics reveal most murderers are neither brutal nor savage. The record shows you don't have to be a devil or a demon or even a criminal. Experience teaches a killer could be any one of us. Given the time, the place, the provocation, it could be you. It could be I. And it could even be Philip Sterling.
Sylvia says you want to see me, Mr. Fenris.
That's right, Phil.
Well?
I have a simple statement to make. A brief 13-word announcement.
I had no idea you measured out your words.
They should add up to 13. It happens to be an unlucky statement as far as you're concerned.
Suppose you end the suspense, Mr. Fenris. What is this historic pronouncement,
If you marry my daughter, I will cut her off without a cent.
Yes, it does add up to 13 words.
And you'd better believe
him. Well, then I have no choice. I'll break the engagement. I certainly can't marry Sylvia if she has no money.
Why, you unprincipled scoundrel.
Now, Mr. Fenris, while I may be a scoundrel, I do have principles.
You admit you want to marry Sylvia for her money?
What other reason could I possibly have?
Well, of all the
Don't sputter at me, Mr. Fenris. After all, it's your fault.
What, my fault?
Without question. Had you been a better father, more loving, more attentive, you would have raised a more attractive daughter.
Well, I'll have you thrown out of here.
Consider Sylvia calmly, objectively. She's immature. She's naive. She's hopelessly romantic. She's careless. That's my word. Others would say sloppy about her weight, about her appearance. It's your fault. Your fault, all of it.
I'll have you know, I gave my daughter everything.
You gave her only what money could buy. And in addition to everything else, she has that damn black cat, that Pluto. And she pretends she can talk with it.
But she's kind. She's gentle.
Of course. Otherwise, she'd be unbearable.
Why am I even discussing this? Get out of here.
Face the facts. You're 75 years old.
70?
How much longer can you live? 10, 15 years? With Sylvia, she'll still be under 40. And the money, all of it hers, to squander as she sees fit. And you know she'll be the natural target of every sharp-shooting fortune hunter.
I told you to get out!
You say that one more time, and I will. Oh, be practical, Mr. Fenris. I'm the best hope you've got. Because all I want to do with her money, your money, is enjoy it. I'm not burning to build empires. I only want to live comfortably, and on your money I can. And, I even happen to like Sylvia, just enough to put up with her.
I think you must be the devil himself.
Well, better the devil you know than the devil you might get. Oh, it's ironic, isn't it? 2 minutes ago you were scared stiff I'd marry Sylvia. Now you're absolutely petrified I won't.
Daddy? Oh, please, Pluto and I simply couldn't wait any longer. Daddy, you do approve of Phil. You do, don't you?
Sylvia, I have a 4-word statement to make. Bless you, my children.
Who set that thing?
Good morning, Phil, darling. I did.
You did? What for?
We have to be up and about.
Oh, At 5:45 in the morning?
Well, I intend to make your breakfast.
I never eat breakfast.
Well, you should. You should. Gets the day off to a glorious start.
But it's not as if I'll be swinging a pick and shovel.
Well, maybe you should. Oh, Pluto's up. Would you get out of bed, Phil, darling, and let him in?
Yes, dear.
Oh, isn't he just the sweetest thing in the world?
Yes, he sure is.
Now, what were we talking about?
Picks and shovels and hearty breakfasts, a combination guaranteed to make me ill.
Phil, you don't know a thing about the construction business.
I never claimed I did. I was honest with your father.
But then why did you accept a job with a plush office and a secretary?
Because I honestly intend to learn the business.
Then that's why you should walk into Daddy's office and say, "Sir, the only way to learn this business is from the ground up."
Well,
you know I'm right. And besides, Pluto thinks it's a splendid idea.
Pluto thinks?
Oh, of course he does, don't you, Pluto? Matter of fact, Pluto and I discussed it last night.
Sylvia.
Why can't you believe Pluto and I talk together?
Because to talk means to exchange words, and Pluto cannot.
Oh, no, no, dear. To talk together means to exchange thoughts. And that's what we do, Pluto and I.
How?
Well, you look Pluto in the eye, and then you beam your thoughts at him, and he just beams his thoughts back at you. That's talking, that's communicating, isn't it?
Well...
I looked into Pluto's eyes, and he looked into mine, and he just beamed that idea about the way you could learn Dad's business right into my head. So, don't you see? You have Pluto to thank for it.
Yeah. Thanks, Pluto. All my life, I hated work. Put in an August day on a road-building crew under a relentless sun that beats down. The heat shimmers off that concrete at about 115 degrees. And you will know what punishment is.
Gentle massage will ease those aches.
No, no, nothing. Nothing will ever relieve these pains.
Pluto says you'll get used to it.
Yeah, well, you just tell Pluto for me that I will never get used to it.
You will. Let Pluto tell you himself. Will you tell him, Pluto, dear?
Oh, come on, Sylvia.
You say that you won't get used to that kind of work. You just beam that thought into Pluto's eyes.
Sylvia, my back hurts. I'm in no mood for...
He will give you inspiration and courage. You just look into Pluto's eyes. Come on, Pluto. Yep, up on the bed, Jim. That's it. Now, look into Phil's eyes. Don't you feel Pluto's thoughts coming into your mind?
I don't know what color a cat's eye is supposed to be, but suddenly I was staring into a kaleidoscope of brilliant hues, flaming reds, freezing greens, burning yellows, icy blues, all of them shifting, twisting, trying to form into shapes, and there was this terribly taut feeling of tension, as if the entire kaleidoscope were trying to dissolve into a scene. And finally, the way a bubble bursts, all the colors blended into that one icy blue. That icy blue became two of the coldest, frostiest eyes I'd ever seen in my life. The eyes of a sharp-faced man in a black robe, and he was talking to me.
Philip Frederick Sterling, have you anything to say before the sentence of this court is passed upon you?
I didn't do it. I swear I didn't. I couldn't kill anyone. I'm not made that way. You must believe me. I'm not a killer.
You shall be imprisoned at the state penitentiary.
No, until... you can't do it. I'm innocent.
Until the third day of April.
No, no, no.
Shall be...
What did you do? What did you do to Pluto?
Huh? I didn't do anything to Pluto.
He saw something in your eyes.
Oh, what could he have seen?
The future.
The future?
Yes. He saw the future and it frightened him. Oh, he's terrified. And so are you.
Me? What are you talking about? I'm not...
Well, why are you shaking all over?
Who's...
You are. Phil! What did you see in Pluto's eyes?
Nothing.
But Phil...
I said I saw nothing.
I could say that to her, Doctor. But not to myself. Because I had seen something. A courtroom... A judge, a jury, a defendant. And, of course, that defendant was me.
Go on, Mr. Sterling.
I wasn't imagining this, Doctor. I looked into the eyes of that cat and I saw...
Yes, you saw that you were being convicted of murder and sentenced by a judge.
You don't think I'm crazy?
Crazy has many connotations. Whether or not you're crazy, as you put it, is irrelevant here.
But why should I see such a scene?
I think you know why.
Oh, I don't.
I say you do.
Please, Doctor, tell me why.
It's because you want to kill your wife.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's true.
Well, why would I want to kill my wife?
Why did you marry her?
For her money.
So far, you haven't been able to spend one cent of her money.
Oh, I'm willing to wait.
And work on a road gang?
What do you suggest?
If I were you, I would leave her.
Why?
You made a bad bargain. You thought you'd fall in soft. It isn't happening. You're beginning to resent her. Already, the thought of murder is rattling around in your subconscious.
Now, look, the old man is worth millions. She gets all of it. Oh, no, I can't walk out on that.
Well, then reconcile yourself to the road gang.
If I have to, I will.
Oh, darling, reach down and pat Pluto's head.
Huh?
He's forgiven you.
For what?
For scaring him the other day.
Oh, poor Pluto. Come here, boy.
Now you see how he likes you?
Well, I like him, too. We're pals, aren't we, Pluto?
Well, do you think you could talk to each other again?
Well, sure. How are things, Pluto, baby?
No, I mean really talk. Look into his eyes.
Oh, that.
Look into them, Phil. Maybe Pluto has something to tell you.
Well, okay.
Talk to Phil, Pluto. Talk to him.
Once again, I looked into Pluto's eyes. Deep into his eyes. Once again, the colors surged and swirled. Reds, greens, blues, yellows. Boiling, burning. And suddenly, all the roiling motion stopped. As if it were frozen. And the icy blue predominated. And once again, I was staring into those two icy blue eyes. The eyes that belonged to the sharp-faced man in the jet-black robe.
In all my years on the bench, I've never encountered murder so foul.
I didn't do it.
I must warn the prisoner. If he insists on interrupting...
But I didn't do it.
The fiendishness of this act...
I couldn't do it.
Only a month.
Oh, no.
As the poet said, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. He might have added, I am the ruler of my mind. It's an interesting project Phil Sterling has set up for himself. Talk out the bad, talk in the good. Drive murder out of his brain and coax love into his heart. If such a thing can be done, it will happen when I return shortly with Act Two.
Nobody else can say. Occasional acid indigestion and heartburn can be more than just acid alone. Often there's trapped gas, too. That's what we call gassed indigestion. Digel is made for gassed indigestion because Digel is different. It does more. Digel reduces excess acid while its patented simethicone gets rid of trapped gas fast. Use only as directed. Digel for gassed indigestion. No plain antacid can do what Digel can.
Of all the leading laxatives, only one, Phenamint, is a gentle chewing gum laxative, and for a very good reason. It's pleasant to take. Phenamint goes into your system gradually, little by little, and after Phenamint has entered your system, it begins to work gently, predictably, to relieve occasional irregularity. Phenamint, the gentle chewing gum laxative. Like all medicines, take only as directed.
As they say, you can see the entire universe in a single drop of water. Why is it unreasonable to suppose that Philip Sterling can see the future in the eyes of a cat? Phil is not only convinced he can see his future, he is also certain he can change it. For the better, naturally.
Sylvia, call Pluto in here.
Oh, darling, he's very frightened.
I'll call him in.
Well, I'm not sure that I should.
I need him.
You what?
Sylvia, you're the one who insisted on having the word obey in the marriage ceremony. Call Pluto in here.
Pluto. Pluto. It's all right, baby.
Yes. Here, Pluto.
Oh, up on Phil's lap. That's it.
Yes. I want to look into his eyes.
Oh, I don't think it's wise.
Well, I have my reasons.
All right. Pluto, Phil wants to talk to you. Pluto, talk to Phil.
Once again, I looked into Pluto's eyes, and I saw nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. What do you say to that, Dr. Myers? Murder? If it was ever in there, I drove it out of my mind. I drove all thoughts of murder out of my mind.
Look, Pluto's smiling.
Of course.
And you. You're smiling, too.
I'm smiling because I love you.
Oh, Phil, what's got into you lately?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Keep to your left. Keep to your left. Come on. Come on. There's plenty of room. Come on. Keep moving.
Oh, my God. It can't be, but it is. Quinn, look.
It's Phil.
Phil, baby. Is this for real?
Phil, darling.
Oh, wait till the gang hears about this.
Oh, hi, Gwenny. Bruce.
Phil,
darling. I never knew you had such muscles.
What happened, Phil? Did your father-in-law lose all his money?
Look, you're holding up traffic.
This was mad.
I'll explain it some other time. Get moving. Get moving, or I'll catch it from my foreman.
Everything go all right today?
Hmm? Oh, sure.
You haven't said a word all during dinner.
Well, I'm just tired.
Well, I know you're not used to hard work, but you'll see. You'll find it so rewarding.
Oh, sure.
I have a surprise for you. Aren't you going to ask me what it is?
Okay.
It's Dad's wedding gift. You know what he wants to give us? A house.
A house?
A house of our very own. He wants to give us the house on Rogers Cove.
The big one?
Yep, the big one with the boat landing, the tennis court.
Well, that is a gift.
I turned it down.
You what?
I turned it down.
But Sylvia, why?
Because we can't afford it.
We can't afford it?
Not on your salary. You don't know how hard I had to work to restrain my father.
From doing what?
Well, he wants to give us everything right away. Now, think of that, what it would do to you. It would absolutely rob you of your initiative.
Sylvia, we shouldn't insult your father by,
All in good time, darling. Our first home should be a modest ranch house, or would you prefer a split level? In a development with other young couples like ourselves.
But, darling...
Now, Phil, I had a long talk about it with Pluto.
With Pluto?
He'll show you the wisdom of it. Pluto, go to Phil.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Sylvia. Sylvia, I must tell you, I love you.
Of course you do.
I love you. My only desire is to protect you, to keep you from harm.
No. Pluto, Phil wants to talk with you.
Once again, I looked into those eyes. Once again, the whirl of almost blinding colors. But this time, something was different. In the struggle among the blues, the yellows, the greens, and the reds, the bright crimson reds, they were winning out. Everything was red. Flowing red. Blood red. Red blood on a pale white face. Blood on Sylvia's face.
Phil! Please! Don't hit me! Oh, no, please!
I told you! I warned you!
No! Please! Phil, no!
You ruined my life! All my friends laugh at me!
I love you, Phil! Oh, please don't hit me again!
Get up! I'm not through.
Oh.
Get up! Sylvia!
Phil, honestly, you have the most violent conversations with Pluto. Oh, no, Pluto, everything's all right. Phil, what were you and Pluto talking about?
Nothing at all.
Where are you going?
Out.
Oh, I'll come with you.
No.
Oh.
Sylvia, can't you understand? Sometimes a man just wants to be by himself, that's all.
Oh, of course, darling, I understand. We understand, don't we, Pluto? Yes. You want to go back to the party?
Mm-hmm. Maybe later. It's much cozier here.
Mm-hmm. I must say, absence does make the heart grow fonder.
Oh, I missed you, Gwenny.
Oh, Phil, how do you stand it?
Oh, I have fantastic powers of endurance. That is, I hope I do.
You know, what with her talking to that cat and everything else, maybe you can get her committed to, you know, an asylum. After all, she is crazy.
No. Only poor people are crazy. Rich people are eccentric.
Phil, I'm worried about you.
Sure, don't be. I will be fabulously wealthy one day.
Is that all there is to it?
That's all there ever was for me.
I don't like what it's doing to you.
Oh, come on, Gwen. What's it doing to me?
Well, you're not the same. You were always so happy-go-lucky.
Well, that might have been just a pose.
No, there's something new inside of you.
Really? What?
It's kind of violence.
Violence? I'm allergic to violence.
You think so?
You know what I always say. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Violence? Why, I can't even...
Don't protest so much, Phil. It shows.
How?
When we ran into you on the road, Bruce and I, we started to kid you. You turned livid.
I don't remember.
You were trembling with rage.
That's your imagination.
You tried to hide it.
Well, maybe you're right. There are times when I could just...
When you could just what?
Kill her. It scares me. I never felt that way before about anybody. If I stay with her, I know that I'll kill her. And then... then, what good is the money?
That's delicious.
Have another helping, Dad.
You know, Phil, she used to break the heart of every chef I'd hire. These fellas all had international reputations, but she'd just walk into the kitchen and whip up a little dish and put them all to shame.
Daddy, the preparation of food is a personal, intimate thing. Yeah. Oh, we shouldn't hire strangers to do it. Don't you agree, Phil?
I've never seen Phil so quiet.
That's right. Darling, both you and Pluto haven't said a word all evening.
I don't know about Pluto, but I am preparing a statement.
Oh, that sounds serious.
It's a very important statement.
Now, as a coincidence, I too have a statement. May I?
Of course.
Phil, you've absolutely exceeded all my expectations. You've been an excellent husband to Sylvia. You've been conscientious on the job. And so, therefore, I have a seven-word statement. Odd that it should add up to seven, because it's a lucky statement, and... well, here it is. I have included you in my will.
Oh, Daddy, Daddy. Oh, that's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful, Pluto?
I know now, Phil, that you'll succeed in the business. One day, it'll all be yours.
Oh, Phil, did you hear that?
Oh, yes. Yes, I heard it.
Well, now that Daddy has made his statement, what was yours?
What was mine? I was ready to say four simple words. I want a divorce. However, at that moment, it seemed like a stupid thing to do. I happened to glance at Pluto. He was looking up at me. His eyes were wide, and I could see the colors swirling again, but this time, the yellows, the bright flaming yellows, overwhelmed the others. And then, the yellow turned softer and began to gleam like gold, solid gold. Oh, what a fool I would be to throw away a chance to own one of the largest construction companies in America. I looked at Sylvia. I would simply have to love her, that's all. Love her so earnestly, so devotedly, that I wouldn't have the inclination to kill her. The problem was solved.
Aren't you going to make your statement, Phil?
As it turns out, I really don't have one.
Playing a dangerous game. All your instincts tell you to get out. But suddenly, the stakes are raised to dizzying heights. What do you do? Phil Sterling has decided to stand pat. But how strong is his hand? Losers and winners in this game of life and death will be determined when I return shortly with Act 3.
Presents the good, the bad, and the heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
Well, it is, senor.
Give me the special K breakfast.
Here you go. Four special K is the milk, orange juice, and coffee. Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain, like the dust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
When you put out good money,
for a homeowner's policy. You're buying the service that that agent's going to give you the first time that you have a claim.
State Farm agent Gabe Franco, Fort Collins, Colorado, talks about homeowner's insurance.
State Farm has always been synonymous with good service. But the amazing thing is that you get that kind of service without a big price. State Farm has a reputation for low rates. Nowadays, when a guy has a budget to watch, that's more important than ever. You have to make sure that you get the best deal for your dollar. And so you see, you get the kind of service you need for a homeowner's policy and some real financial advantages, too, and that's hard to beat.
State Farm Fire and Casualty is number one in homeowner's insurance because of low rates and outstanding service. Good reasons to see your nearby State Farm agent now.
Why should love be a random, subjective thing, completely beyond our conscious control? Why can't we say, she is the logical person for me to love? Phil Sterling is determined to love his wife, because if he can't, he knows he will have to kill her.
Oh, darling, let's quit for the night.
Well, I can mix a batch of cement and start on the wall if you want me to.
You work hard all day. Then you come home at night, and I make you work in the basement.
Oh, well, I don't mind.
Come on upstairs, wash up.
No, I'd just as soon keep working and finish this.
Oh, but not tonight, Phil. I asked the Conways over for coffee.
The Conways?
Well, they really are such lovely people.
Well, he's a bore.
Phil?
And she's such an idiot.
Phil, you have to be friendly with your neighbors.
Why?
Oh, darling, don't lose touch with ordinary people.
I don't know what I'd do without you.
Well, that's what friends are for.
I just have nobody else to talk to. On the job, at home, the neighbors. I think I'm about ready to flip.
Well, Phil, you could always leave.
I can't. You know, you hear people say, I wouldn't do this or that for $1 million. But it's academic. Nobody ever offered them the million. With me. Gwen, with me, the money is there.
It's not quite there.
It's mine. I just have to wait it out. I am in the will. I am in it for 50%. Gwen, you know how much that is?
Mm-hmm.
Besides, he's very old. How much longer can he live?
Oh, Phil, you always were a genius when it came to figuring things.
I wish I knew how to figure this.
Well, you know you can't stay, and you don't have the nerve to leave.
That isn't true.
Been getting any readings from Pluto lately?
Cut it out, Gwen.
I bet you're afraid to look. Phil, you haven't eaten a thing.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, darling, something's troubling you. Talk to Pluto. You'll feel better.
I don't want to talk to Pluto.
Oh, he's such a comfort. Talk to Phil, Pluto.
Sylvia. I love you.
Well, I love you, and Pluto loves you, too. Tell him you love him, Pluto. Well, I know something will cheer you up. Daddy's got the results from his physical today, and he's in the best shape of his life.
He is?
And you deserve all the credit. Because he doesn't have to worry about me anymore. Not just that Daddy will probably live forever.
Oh, that's great.
Phil, I can tell you, you're not feeling...
I'm fine.
You're out of sorts. Come on, let Pluto comfort you.
Keep that cat away from me.
Pluto is not that cat.
Meow.
Oh, now you see, you've hurt his feelings.
For crying out
now,
loud.
Tell him you're sorry. Phil wants to apologize, Pluto. Tell him you forgive him.
Meow. Once again, I was staring into Pluto's eyes. And into that boiling maelstrom of colors, all I could see now was brown, and it was the brown of the cement in the basement. And on this brown cement was a sharp and pointed mason's trowel. And suddenly, the trowel was in my hand.
Phil, you killed Pluto!
That's right.
Yes.
Get out of my way!
Oh, no!
He's driving me crazy. I have to kill him.
Phil, what's wrong? You're trembling.
It's nothing.
It can't be nothing.
I'm going out.
Again? Where?
For a walk.
Where do you always go on these walks?
Nowhere. I just walk. Now stop nagging. I don't know what I would do without you, Gwen.
Good old Gwen. Comfy as a pair of old shoes. Ready as a candlestick, reliable, dependable, there when you need me.
Well, it's true.
Well, congratulate me. I'm getting married.
Married? Why?
Why? Has it occurred to you I might want a life of my own? Bruce asked me to marry him.
Oh, Bruce.
He may not be much, but he's all mine. And at least he asked me.
Gwen, listen. In just a couple of years, I'll really be rich.
And I hope you'll be very happy.
I'll make it up to you.
As they say in the movies, I guess this is goodbye.
But, Gwen, if I can't see you...
No, Philip. All or nothing. That's what I want. And to be fair, it's what Sylvia wants. Choose between us. Who gets all and who gets nothing.
Maybe I would miss Gwen. But not for long. Gwen comes back. She always comes back. My problem, Sylvia. Oh, I have to calm down. Keep your temper. Concentrate on loving Sylvia. Loving Sylvia. Yes, dear.
Pluto and I have a question to ask you.
Oh, what is it?
Who is Gwen?
What did you say?
I think you heard me. He heard me, didn't he, Pluto?
Meow.
Who is Gwen?
Well, Gwen is a girl I used to know.
When did you last see her?
Now, look, what is
I'd like an answer.
Sylvia, who told you about Gwen?
Who do you think? Pluto.
What does Pluto know?
Everything. You're in love with her, aren't you?
No.
Don't lie to me.
I am telling you the truth.
You can lie to me, but you can't lie to Pluto.
Sylvia! Sylvia, now listen to me. I am telling you the truth. I love you.
Oh, tell that to Pluto. I dare you to tell that to Pluto.
Pluto! Pluto, that mangy cat. Hey, where are you going?
Home.
You're home now.
No, going home to my father. I never want to see you again.
That damn cat, I'll kill him.
Pluto, don't. Please, don't. Run, Pluto! Run!
Oh, that stupid cat. Look, he ran down to the basement, Sylvia. He can't get away now. I've got you cornered, you stupid cat.
Dodge him! Pluto, dodge him!
You can't get away. You won't get away.
Phil, you're mad. Put down that towel.
Stand still. Stand still, you stupid beast. You've got nowhere to go.
Here, Pluto. Here, come to me. Come, I'll protect you.
Sylvia! Let go of that cat. You give me Pluto.
No!
I won't have any peace. I won't have any sanity until I kill him.
No, Phil, no!
Let go of him.
No!
Sylvia. No. Sylvia! It killed them both. My temper had gotten the best of me. Yes. I had to think fast. Think. Oh, think. First, I built a wall of cinder blocks and cement. I had everything there to do it. And then I placed her and Pluto behind it. And finally, I painted the wall and the entire basement so there were no signs of fresh construction. I washed away every bloodstain from the floor and from my hands, from my clothes. The place was absolutely spotless. And then I assumed a new role as and I played it to perfection. The Worried Husband.
What could have happened to her, Phil?
I don't know. Oh, I'm scared. How could she just disappear?
You two weren't quarreling, were you?
What, Sylvia and I?
Yeah, I know. The lovebirds.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm scared of. You know, she has all kinds of, well, weird ideas. And, well, what with that cat? Who knows, maybe she just wandered off.
Well, we'll find her. You have to be brave, son.
Oh, I just couldn't get along without her, Dad. My only worry was her will, but I was still in it. So that worry was unnecessary. And actually, I was in it bigger and better than before. You know, maybe I should have killed her sooner. Yes?
Mr. Sterling?
I'm Mr. Sterling.
We're police officers.
Oh?
May we come in? Lieutenant Haley? Sergeant Miller?
Yes.
Detective Krause.
Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Your wife has been reported missing.
Yes, that's right.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Well, my father-in-law and I wrote out a deposition. He's Frank J. Fenris, a very influential man.
So I've heard. Your wife disappeared last Tuesday night.
Yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Conway, your next-door neighbors, report they heard sounds of arguing.
Did they?
Mrs. Conway characterized it as a fight.
Well, Mrs. Conway is a fool.
But did you have a fight with your wife?
Certainly. Don't you ever fight with your wife, Lieutenant?
Do you have any idea where your wife might be now?
Lieutenant, do you suspect me of doing away with Sylvia?
No, sir.
I don't like the tone of your voice. And I don't like the look on your face either.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's that cynical know-it-all cop look. Yes, you figure that I killed her.
Hmm? Mr. Sterling, I'm sorry if we seem to irritate you, but our job requires that we ask questions.
So what did I do, Lieutenant? Kill her and hide her body?
Nobody said that, sir.
Then why are you here?
To search the house.
Now, I know my rights. For that, you need a warrant.
We have a warrant.
Oh. Well, go ahead.
Jim, Otto, look around.
Well, Lieutenant, any corpses in the closets?
Will you show us to the basement?
The basement?
Yes. You have one?
Well, of course we do. Just follow me.
Jim? Anything? Otto? Mr. Sterling, I'm sorry we put you to so much trouble. Something the matter, Mr. Sterling? Mr. Sterling?
Huh? No, I'm all right.
Are you ill? You look so pale. Now, I know this must be a difficult time for you, Mr. Sterling.
Yes, it is.
Well, we're through here. Are you sure you're all right?
Oh, yes, I'm just fine.
Well, goodbye, sir.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye.
You know, it's funny. I hear a cat. He must be right in this room, but I don't see him.
A cat? A cat? What cat?
You mean you don't hear that cat? Why, he's behind that wall. He has to be behind that wall.
Pluto. Oh, no. It can't be Pluto. He's dead. He's dead.
Otto, Jim, get some tools. We're going to break down that wall.
He's dead. I killed him. Why isn't he dead?
Why? The answer is simple. And it's also the moral of our story, which is, a man is ill-advised to fool with a cat. Why? Because a man only has one life, while a cat has nine. And at this point in time,
Philip Frederick Sterling has no lives at all, while Pluto still has 8. I'll be back shortly.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and see. Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I said it's a school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead. All over the world.
The new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
What we're doing on this show is bringing back some of the best of the good old days. And a good old expression used to be the cat's meow. Mom and Dad used it all the time, even though they didn't exactly know what it meant. Well, after this tale, we know. Our cast included Norman Rose, Marion Seldes, Robert Dryden, Joe DeSantis, and Evie Juster. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Three times, on different expeditions, we have excavated with no success. This time, we have managed to isolate the mastaba itself. In spite of every kind of miserable luck. Cave-ins, men injured, crews deserting. But at last, within the next few days, I'm convinced the entrance will be found.
Oh, how exciting, how wonderful for you. And Hasiba, I hope she isn't a disappointment. Was she really so beautiful, do you think?
Incredibly. Her face shamed the shining sun, and the day was lit up by the light of her countenance.
You know, you sound as though you'd actually seen her.
I have.
You have?
Oh, yes, yes, my dear. For every description fits you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
You are listening to CBS Radio Mystery Theater's The Black Cat. It was first heard on Monday, April 1st, 1974. Although the episodes aired in the springtime, its storyline is perfectly suited for Halloween. The episode starred Norman Rose and was written by Sam Dan. The story is adapted from Edgar Allan Poe's 1843 short story of the same title. The story is often paired with The Telltale Heart, as both are a study of the psychology of guilt. I've always enjoyed the writings of Poe and hope you agree this radio play is a testament to his skill. To fill up the last few minutes of time, I'm going to play an episode from Mutual's 5-Minute Mystery, which aired sometime between 1947 and 1950. The mystery is titled My Pal Patsy.
Another 5-Minute Mystery. Story takes place in Green's Gap, a small town in the Southern Cavern District. James Gap Hospital, Dr. Melville speaking.
Doctor, there's been an accident out at Echo Cavern.
Accident? What kind of accident?
Two men was exploring, and they got lost last night. One's unconscious. You better come quick before he's dead.
I hope you know how to get out to Echo Cavern, Lem.
Well, Doc, being town constable and ambulance driver, I reckon I know about all there is to know about this country.
Ever been in the cavern, Lem?
Once, Doc Melville, when I was a boy. Nearly got my hide tanned off of my paw. Echo Cavern's a mighty treacherous place.
You mean it's easy to get lost in?
Well, not only that, Doc. It's that cavern gas, carbon something.
Carbon dioxide?
Yes, that's it. All of a sudden, you run into some of that stuff, and before you know it, bing, you're out.
Still, people seem to go exploring there.
More fools you be. I wouldn't go into them caverns, leastwise not without a dog.
A dog? What for?
Well, if a dog keels over, then you know the gas is collecting.
I'm afraid, Mr. Gatty, your friend is dead.
Yeah, poor Patsy. It was from the gas, wasn't it, Doc?
That's what it looks like to me.
Why did you go in that cavern, anyway? Well, Patsy asked me to. He never seen a cave before.
How far did you go in?
Well, it didn't seem very far, but all of a sudden we lost our way.
Where was that?
Well, how do I know whereabouts it was if we was lost? We tried to trace our way back, but it wasn't no use. And Patsy started to get scared. You know, it's kind of funny to see a big guy like that get scared.
Yes, he is rather big, isn't he?
Yeah, 6'4". The mob used to call us Mutton Jeff.
And then what happened?
Well, I was a little scared myself. But we stuck together, you know, walking in the dark with only my flash from the car. And all of a sudden, Patsy keeled over.
From the gas?
Yeah, that's what I figured. His head hit on a rock, and I guess that just about finished him off.
Yeah, I suppose you reckon yourself pretty lucky, mister.
Yeah, sure. I figure it was only because I'm 5'3" that I got out of there alive. And the gas must have been just about a foot over my head.
Yeah? And what do you think of that, Jock Melville?
I think you'd better arrest Mr. Gatty for the murder of his friend, Patsy. What was the flaw in Gatty's story? Do you know it? In a moment, we'll hear from Lem and Dr. Melville. But first... And now, let's see whether you're as observant as Lem and the doctor.
Hey, copper, let me put my hands down. They're tired.
When you're in Green's Gap jail, not before.
I don't get it. It was a good story. I still can't figure how you found out.
Lem tells me they used to take dogs in the cavern because the gas is heavier than air. It collects on the floor. If you really met gas, you would have keeled over first before your pal Patsy.
Well, what do you know? I tell you, nowadays in this murder racket, you need a college education.
Did you solve the mystery before the narrator revealed the solution? You just heard My Pal Patsy, an episode of 5-Minute Mystery, which aired on Mutual sometime between 1947 and 1950. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to contact me, you may email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com, or write to me at Old Parlor Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.